Thank you for your regular and generous support of Issues Etc. in the past year, 2008. A good summary of my hopes for Issues Etc. for 2009 are St. Paul's words to the Colossians. Pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way that you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Thank you again for your support of Issues Etc. We'll continue defending the faith, teaching the truth, and making the most of every opportunity to proclaim Christ and Him crucified.
Rick Warren has been invited to speak. Dr. Joseph Lowery, who has deeply contrasting views to Rick Warren on a whole host of issues, is also speaking.
We are challenging the inaugural committee's right to invite Christian ministers in. That is un-American. It makes those of us good Americans who don't believe in God second-class citizens. It's unfair.
But of course, we'd be delighted to find just the right pew for the Obama family, should they ever like to worship here.
Well, just because it seems natural doesn't mean it's best for you or society. I'm naturally inclined to have sex with every beautiful woman I see, but that doesn't mean it's the right thing to do.
I've come to this conclusion, maybe I'm wrong, I don't know, but that the full understanding of Christianity is going to take a full lifetime of study.
We've talked a lot about the Lord's Supper on Issues, etc. over many, many years, and as often as we talk about it, we'll get email from listeners. They'll say things like, and usually from a perspective on the Lord's Supper that's less than biblical. And they're very polite. They'll say something like, well, you know, I believe that Jesus is present in the Lord's Supper. One even wrote me some years back saying, I like everything you had to say about the Lord's Supper, and I really think we do need to emphasize the spiritual presence of Jesus, body and blood, in the Lord's Supper. And I wrote back, equally polite, and said, I'm a little confused how a body and blood can be spiritually present. Bodies are bodily present. Blood is, I guess you could say, bloodily present. Are we talking about a spiritual presence of Christ in the Lord's Supper when we read these passages in Scripture that talk about Christ's body and blood? Or are we talking about something more? We're going to talk about Christ's bodily presence in the Lord's Supper. Pastor Tim Pauls joins us for the first half hour of the program. After that, a short conversation with Dr. James Lamb of Lutherans for Life. We'll talk about the Incarnation and pro-life issues. Life Sunday coming up as well. Play a little game we haven't played for a long time here on Issues, etc. About halfway through the program, Name That Church Body. We're going to play some audio from a pastor in a church body, unnamed, both. And we're going to ask you, based upon what this pastor has to say in the audio clips, to name that church body. You'll need to use our call-in number or our email address here in the studio, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or the email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Then in the second hour of the program, we'll talk about the wise men on this Epiphany Day, the men who came from afar to visit the Christ child, having seen his star in the east. And then yesterday's California Supreme Court ruling that would refuse congregations leaving the Episcopal Church USA in that state the right to take their church property with them or to retain their church property. Wick Stevens, legal counsel for the Anglican Communion Network, will be our guest. And then David Maskey of the Pew Forum will join us to talk about the religious affiliations of the new 111th Congress. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. We're coming to you live this Tuesday, the 6th of January. 1-877-623-6943 or talkback@issuesetc.org. Pastor Tim Pauls is a regular guest. He's associate pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Boise, Idaho, editor of Higher Things magazine, and author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things titled How to Defend the Real Presence and Have Fun Doing It. Pastor Pauls, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd. Always an honor to be with you.
Lots of Christians nowadays use the phrase real presence when they're talking about the Lord's Supper. What does the Bible mean when it presents to us this teaching called the real presence?
Yeah, and you won't find the term real presence in the Bible, at least not any translation that I've found, but that's a reference to the scriptural confession and belief that in the Lord's Supper we don't just receive bread and wine and with a spiritual or symbolic presence of Jesus, but we believe and teach that Jesus' body and blood are really present in the bread and wine. So that when we go to the Lord's Supper, we receive not just bread and wine, but also His body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins.
Okay, a lot of people, especially in American Protestantism, unfamiliar with the biblical teaching on the Lord's Supper because generic Protestantism generally tends to ignore those passages. No offense, but they do. And if they're familiar with any kind of teaching of a presence, they're only familiar with a Roman Catholic teaching of a presence, will just be aghast to find otherwise perfectly decent Christians believing that Christ's body and blood are really there in with and under the bread and wine. How do you respond to the aghast reaction first?
Yeah, I think that a lot of that might come down to one of two things. One is a reaction to Roman Catholic theology and just kind of a bias against Roman Catholicism without knowing a whole lot about its teaching. I mean, clearly there's a difference between the Roman Catholic teaching on the Lord's Supper and our own. Part of it too, though, I think is just a gut level reaction to the idea that we're somehow saying that this is a meal of cannibals where we're somehow feasting on our Lord in a sort of cannibalistic way. It sounds, I guess, on the surface to some like it's a very degrading treatment of the Savior rather than what He's commanded us to do.
And so how do you respond if someone says body and blood are human body and blood are not intended to be eaten under no circumstances, even if it looks like the Bible tells us to do so?
Right. And Lutherans have never said that we chew, for want of a better word, that we chew with our teeth our Lord's body or drink His blood with our mouths. Rather, it might be better to use an illustration for this one, Todd. A question I might ask in that situation is how did Jesus get out of the tomb when He rose from the dead, or how did he get into the room in was it John 20 where His disciples were locked for fear of the Jews? Because in order to get out of the tomb or get into that room with his body and with His blood, he had to defy the laws of physics. Somewhere along there, He had to go through a wall or whatever He did without His body occupying space, without His blood occupying space. That's just how physics works. We teach that in the Lord's Supper, and Lutherans have always taught that within the Lord's Supper, Christ's body and blood are there, but in a mode, in a way, that doesn't occupy space. So we receive with our mouths, we chew bread and drink wine, and at the same time we receive the Lord's body and blood. We certainly can't chew what doesn't occupy space. So we're certainly not eating our Lord as we do food, but he is present there, and we receive His body and blood with that bread and wine. That's kind of a complicated argument, but maybe it's a start.
Okay. Well, let's go into some of the grammar, because that's what presents a lot of problems and
sure. Sometimes
a lot of false roadblocks to a real belief in the real bodily presence of Christ. Here's the biggest one. Look, when Jesus said, I know He said, this is My body, what He obviously meant to say was, this represents My body.
Yeah, and that's a very common one. And I guess when I hear that, a response that I might use gently and just to kind of prod the conversation is, if Jesus meant to say, this represents My body, but He said, this is My body, then He really meant to say, this is not My body. Because if that bread only represents His body, and it is only bread, then when He said, this is My body, he really meant to say, this is not My body, which is quite a difference. When I was putting together this article, I went through several dictionaries just on what the word represents means, and nowhere could I find the word is as a definition. Represents is a different term.
Okay. How about this variation on that theme? when he says, this is my body, what he meant to say is this symbolizes my body. Bread and wine are just symbols of something else, not there in Jesus' hand.
Yeah, and really those arguments are used pretty well interchangeably by many people. And you know, I've actually heard preachers before say, replace in the words of institution, say this represents or this symbolizes my body. What does a symbol show us? If I'm at the mall and I see a picture of a fire extinguisher on the wall, I know that right by that picture, right by that symbol, I'm going to find a fire extinguisher. If I'm standing in the pulpit of the church and I see a sign that says exit in the back, I know that that's where the exit door is. A symbol doesn't mean that something isn't there. A symbol often points to us what is there, but we might not be able to see easily with our eyes. In fact, I think it was Dr. Hermann Sasse in one of his writings said that in Lutheran theology, signs or symbols declare to us what is there. We're often in Reformed theology, signs and symbols are considered to be symbols that point what isn't there.
Okay, you said you'd done a thorough study of words like represent in the dictionary, and someone might respond, Pastor Paul's, I've done a pretty thorough study in the Bible of Jesus using the word is, and there are times when he doesn't mean is. He says, I am the door. He's obviously not a door.
Okay, Jesus does say, I am the door, and this is kind of, like you say, used to back up the argument that is doesn't always mean is. So far, we have the argument that is means represents or symbolizes. So if Jesus said, I am the door, and is or am means symbolizes, and Jesus was saying, I symbolize the door, or I represent the door.
Okay, I'm going to have to stop you there because I asked my question a little late. When we come back, I want to pick up right there. Is Jesus saying, I am the door? Is he saying, I symbolize some other door besides the door that I am? Maybe a simple answer might be, well, Jesus is saying he's a door. No, he's not saying he's a door. He's saying he is the door. We'll be right back with Pastor Tim Pauls talking about the real bodily presence of Christ in the sacrament. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely upon you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support of Issues Etc.
What is it, Captain?
Whatever it is, it's incredibly advanced.
Hey, iPhone users, you can now listen to Issues Etc. live on your iPhone. Find out by going to piratechristianradio.com and click the iPhone link on the homepage. You no longer have to sit by your PC, laptop, or home radio to listen to Issues Etc. live. piratechristianradio.com and look for the iPhone icon.
With something much, much more. And it's going to change everything.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
International human rights attorney and law professor Dr. John Warwick Montgomery on the importance of Issues Etc.
Before settling in England and France, I had my own Christian radio program for 10 years in California and 2 years in Washington State. I was also a regular for over a decade on national religious television. In a word, I have had a great deal of contact with evangelical programming, both good and bad, and my judgment in this area is probably worth something. In my opinion, Issues Etc. is one of the very few programs on Christian radio willing to discuss tough questions with solid theological answers. I consider it a great privilege to be able to appear on the program regularly, and I commend it to every serious listener.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a gift today. Donate online at issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
There must be an end to the conflict. There must be a withdrawal of Israeli troops. There must be an end to rocket attacks launched from Gaza by Hamas on Israel.
Well, who is that and what church body, what denomination does he represent? In about 25 minutes, we'll play Name That Church Body. We'll play some audio from a pastor in a church body. We're going to ask you, you don't have to figure out who it is. You need to know what the church body is. I want to hear from you in about 25 minutes when we play Name That Church Body. In fact, the person who gets it right first will get an Issues Etc. pen, travel mug, and T-shirt. 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MY-I-E or talk back at issuesetc.org. We're coming to you live Tuesday, January the 6th. Okay, we were right in the middle of making a response to the objection to the real presence of Christ in the supper, the I am the door analogy or comparison. Jesus obviously isn't a door, therefore is doesn't always mean is. Pick up where you left off, Tim.
Right. Thank you. That argument is advanced because is supposedly means represents, and therefore when Jesus says, I am the door, he must be saying, I would guess, I represent the door, I symbolize the door, but that's clearly wrong. Jesus doesn't symbolize a door. Jesus, I suppose, is symbolized or can be represented by a door. So now to take that word am and say it doesn't mean am, we've got to take it from an active verb and turn it to a different verb that's passive, with Jesus saying, I am symbolized by a door. But you already hit the punchline before the break, Todd. Jesus isn't saying that he's a rectangular piece of wood with three hinges and a handle on it. He's declaring that he is the entry into heaven. A door is an entryway. And Jesus there is saying that he is the way, as in John 14:6 as well, the way to heaven, the way to the Father. Or As a colleague of mine pointed out, perhaps Jesus is the door. He's the ideal door, and then every door that you open during the day is a lesser door that should remind us of him.
Let's see what Jeff has to say. He's calling from Philadelphia. Jeff, thanks for waiting on the line, and welcome.
Hi, yes. I would have two objections to your position, and I guess the first one would be biblical, and to me that would be if you count the Last Supper as being real presence, which is what the language you're using as part of, that was prior to the crucifixion, and Levitical laws would still apply, and that would mean that people drinking actual blood would go against Levitical laws and Noahic laws, and that would mean Jesus would be a sinner, and you can't have that. And my second objection would be, once you're arguing for non-spatial bodies, there's really nothing except the verbs or in the language you want to use that distinguishes that between a spiritual presence view, because you're really having non-bodily bodies, and that doesn't really make logical sense.
All right. Thank you very much, Jeff. I appreciate both of the objections. Let's see if we can deal with them one at a time. Okay. The Last Supper is prior to the crucifixion. The Levitical law still holds forth. Jesus can't break the law.
Yeah, and that's a very good question. I would point out that Jesus said, "This is my blood of the new covenant of the New Testament," and this is the Lord instituting something new, where He gives forgiveness by His blood, which He is about to shed on the cross.
So it is clear that this is not part of Old Covenant stuff, or under
Correct.
Old Covenant. This is New Covenant.
He builds it right into those words of institution.
Okay, Jeff says, look, if you're going to talk about bodies that don't take up space, there's no real logical distinction between a body that doesn't take up space and a spirit.
Right, and then again, we're saying is Jesus' body always in a physical, tangible mode? And that was kind of the distinction I tried to draw with how did Jesus get into a locked room, because clearly once he gets inside, he can show them his hands and his side. His body is there, but somehow he has gotten there with his body. It's not just a spirit; it's his body itself.
So Jesus' body can do things that ordinary physical present bodies can't do.
Absolutely, because he has a physical body, and while he's fully human, he is also fully God. And so while he while his body is like ours, he is also capable of doing whatever he desires to do as God. I guess that I would turn that around for those who say that a a body that isn't physically, tangibly there, being the same as a spiritual presence, would someone who says that say then that Jesus' body is in the Lord's Supper? Or would they say, well, no, he's just spiritually present, in which case there clearly is still a difference between our two perspectives.
Okay, Stephen Wheat Ridge, Colorado emails this, a phrase I have heard credited to Luther but which I carry as a personal motto, what part of hoc est corpus meum don't you understand? The Latin version, of course, of Jesus' words, this is my body. Your response?
Well, clearly that when Luther met with Ulrich Zwingli to talk about this very matter, that as I recall history, Luther wrote that on the table, underneath the tablecloth in chalk, and returned to it again and again. Ulrich Zwingli was arguing that it's simply bread and wine, that we don't receive Jesus there, as I recall. We just receive bread and wine as symbols, and Luther again and again went back to the words and said, this is what Jesus said. And I guess, to throw something out along with these lines, is this. If Jesus really meant, represents, or symbolizes, rather than is, why didn't he just say represents or symbolizes instead of is? Because knowing how this would have, how this would divide the church over the centuries to come, why would he not clarify that at the very beginning?
And I wonder why St. Paul, with ample opportunity to clarify what may have been unclear in Jesus' words there, doesn't do it. I mean, he talks about the Lord's Supper repeatedly, especially through the middle of his first letter to Corinthians, and he never once wavers from the position that we're talking about a body and blood with the bread and the wine.
And I think especially 1 Corinthians 10:16, where he says, The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ, not an observance or a symbolic undertaking, but participation, a koinonia, if I recall right, a communion.
Okay, here's a philosophical argument that is often made by those who simply cannot stomach, please pardon the pun,
sure,
the bodily presence of Christ in the Lord's Supper. They will say, look, it's about being present in more than one place at one time. Bodies are only present one place at one time. If you say that Jesus' body is present both at the right hand of God and at infinite numbers of altars on a Sunday morning and never diminished, you're essentially denying Jesus' humanity. How do you respond?
Well, I think we've already pointed out that Jesus, as both God and man, can do things with his physical body that we are incapable of doing. He was able to walk on water, and he wasn't wearing pontoons at the time, but he could sustain his body above the waves because he was also the Son of God. Likewise, this doesn't in any way deny Jesus' humanity by saying that he's both present at God's right hand and present with us in the supper. Rather, it also affirms that not only is he human, but he is also fully God.
Okay, then the flip side of that would be, maybe you're actually inadvertently denying his divinity, Pastor Pauls, because, after all, the Son of God is infinite, and infinite things can't be held by finite things like bodies.
Yeah, the old axiom, you can't take something, the infinite cannot be contained in the finite. And that's great physics, it's just not particularly good theology. Throughout the Scriptures, the infinite Lord contains himself in the burning bush and in the Holy of Holies in the temple and in Mary's womb as the infant Jesus. So if he has done this throughout history to come to us, to be present with us, why could he not be present and, I guess, contain himself, we want to use that word, within the bread and wine? This doesn't really deny his divinity. Rather, it affirms that he is also human and with us.
Then with less than a minute here, some might say, look, you guys are just majoring in minors. What difference does all of this make? Your response, less than a minute.
My response would be to remember that where the Lord Jesus is, that's where the forgiveness of sins is. And Jesus says that he is present in the Lord's Supper with his body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. And if he truly is there, then we certainly want to rejoice in that and not say, no, he isn't there, it's just bread and wine. If Jesus isn't there, if it is just bread and wine and we're just remembering him, are we also just remembering forgiveness and not getting it? that would seem to be the logical conclusion. Rather, let's rejoice instead that Christ is there, and where Christ is also forgiveness and eternal life.
Pastor Tim Pauls is associate pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Boise, Idaho, editor of Higher Things magazine. We have a link posted to Higher Things magazine in an article that I've written titled Responding to Real Absence Arguments under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Tim Pauls has authored an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine, How to Defend the Real Presence and Have Fun Doing It. Tim, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
All right, when we come back, we're going to talk with Dr. James Lamb briefly about the Incarnation, pro-life issues, and Life Sunday that's coming up. We'll play Name That Church Body in 10 minutes, 1-877-623-MY-IE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. We'll just play some audio from a leader in a church body and ask you to name that church body. The wise men will be the subject with Dr. Peter Scare, and then we'll talk about a California Supreme Court ruling that would require congregations leaving the Episcopal Church USA in the state of California to leave their property behind, and we'll talk about the religious affiliations of the 111th Congress. You know, you never want to find yourself as a Christian engaging in "did God really say" arguments. That's the argument put forward by the great tempter. Did Jesus really say? Yes, he really did. And I think one of our callers put it well. All you're left is with the verbs. Jesus' verbs are, "This is my body." Let's just take Jesus at his word with all the comfort that goes along with those great words. Stay tuned.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January is full of resources to help you and your congregation observe the season of Lent. It's titled, O Sacred Head Now Wounded. It contains devotions, Bible studies, sermons, children's messages, and bulletins for the Lenten season. You can purchase O Sacred Head Now Wounded by calling Concordia Publishing House, 800-325-3040, or click the CPH logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Sacred Head Now Wounded.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Eric Norton's elderly wife, Betty, had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. She was in a London hospital for stomach pains when Mr. Norton suffocated her using two plastic bags. Other patients said they heard her whimpering, "No, no," as she struggled in vain to stop him from killing her. He pled guilty to manslaughter but was only given a 9-month suspended sentence. The judge called him a thoughtful, kind, and honest man, and a devoted husband. Yeah, so devoted he killed his wife against her will. I doubt he would have gotten off so easy if the woman's life was considered valuable. This can happen to vulnerable patients in America, too. All it takes is a judge to declare the patient's life has no value, and we've seen it done with Terry Schiavo.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
618-223-8384. It's the new phone number for the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8384. Leery about calling a live radio talk show? Want to remain anonymous? Leave your recorded question or comment on the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. The good, the bad, the ugly. We're big boys. We can take it. 618-223-8384.